In the dark corners of the literary world, few books have sparked as much controversy and fervent devotion as K.A. Knight's Den of Vipers. This underground sensation has become a cult favorite among readers seeking stories that push boundaries, with its raw exploration of power dynamics, trauma, and unconventional relationships. The book's popularity exploded through Book Talk, where readers either passionately defend its unflinching portrayal of damaged characters finding connection or criticize its graphic content. What makes this phenomenon particularly fascinating is how it challenges our understanding of consent, redemption, and the gray areas of human desire, all wrapped in a package that's simultaneously disturbing and addictive. In the gritty underbelly of a crime-ridden city, four men known as the Vipers maintain an iron grip through ruthless efficiency and calculated violence. When Rob, a small-time gambling addict, finds himself drowning in an insurmountable debt to them, he makes an unthinkable offer, his daughter Roxy, as payment. The proposition particularly excites Diesel, the group's psychotic enforcer, whose reputation for creative torture has left a trail of broken bodies across the city. His dark eyes gleam at the prospect of breaking someone new. The Vipers' hierarchy is as distinct as it is deadly. Ryder, their calculated leader, maintains control through cold logic and unwavering determination, a man whose steely blue eyes have watched empires fall without blinking. Garrett serves as their muscle, a mountain of a man whose own demons fuel his capacity for violence, though glimpses of humanity occasionally break through his hardened exterior. Kenzo rounds out the quartet, a charming gambler whose perfectly tailored suits and winning smile masks a ruthless ability to separate marks from their money, pride, and occasionally their lives. But Roxy proves to be anything but an easy target. As owner of Roxer's, a popular dive bar in the city's warehouse district, she's carved out her own reputation among the city's rougher elements. Her silver hair and intricate tattoos tell stories of a life lived on her own terms, while her muscled arms speak of someone who can handle herself in a fight. The bar's singular rule, "Don't break the furniture," has become legendary, as has her enforcement of it. Regular patrons know to respect the vintage wooden bar and mismatched stools, each piece carefully curated over years of operation. When four of the Vipers' lower-ranking members arrive to collect their payment, they severely underestimate their target. In a display of stunning combat prowess, Roxy systematically dismantles all four attackers, using a combination of martial arts and street fighting that speaks to a mysterious past. Her controlled fury erupts into pure rage when one thug crashes through a prized antique stool, leading to an especially brutal takedown that leaves him with a permanent limp. The incident catches the Viper's attention, particularly Ryder's. Studying surveillance photos of Roxy, he finds himself drawn to her fierce beauty, the way she carries herself with unflinching confidence, how her silver hair catches the light, the subtle smirk that suggests she knows secrets worth killing for. Despite repeatedly telling himself she's merely a means to an end and a message not to fuck with us, he can't shake the feeling that she's different from their usual targets. The Vipers have inadvertently invited a predator into their midst, one whose bite might prove more venomous than their own. As they move to collect her themselves, none of them realize that kidnapping Roxy will set in motion events that will shatter their carefully constructed world and force each of them to question everything they thought about power, loyalty, and redemption. When the Vipers personally come to collect Roxy, she refuses to submit quietly. Despite her fierce resistance, she's eventually overpowered and taken to their luxurious penthouse. Awakening in what appears to be a gilded cage, Roxy's first act of defiance is to destroy her opulent prison-slashing bedding with broken mirror glass and letting her blood drip everywhere. This sets the pattern for her captivity. She will not be broken easily. "I'd rather die than be owned by men like you," she declares, her eyes blazing with defiance. Each of the Vipers responds differently to their captive. Ryder maintains cold distance, seeing her as a business transaction. Kenzo is immediately attracted, but treats her as another conquest. Garrett, harboring deep trauma regarding women, responds with hostility and avoidance. And Diesel, the most disturbed of the four, develops an obsessive fascination with her, watching her sleep and stealing her underwear. The psychological dynamics at play are fascinating. Roxy quickly realizes that to survive, she must understand her captors. She begins to notice the cracks in their facades, Ryder's controlled exterior hiding deeper emotions, Kenzo's charm masking vulnerability, Garrett's rage stemming from past trauma, and Diesel, the most disturbed of the four, develops an obsessive fascination with her, watching her sleep and stealing her underwear. The psychological dynamics at play are fascinating. Roxy quickly realizes that to survive, she must understand her captors. She begins to notice the cracks in their facades, Ryder's controlled exterior hiding deeper emotions, Kenzo's charm masking vulnerability, Garrett's rage stemming from past trauma, and Diesel's psychosis containing moments of childlike need for connection. Meanwhile, the Vipers discover that Roxy has her own demons. Records reveal an abusive childhood at the hands of her gambling-addicted father, who would beat her after losing money. She was emancipated at 17 and has been fighting to survive ever since. This shared experience of trauma creates an unexpected bridge between captors and captive. As days pass, Roxy begins testing boundaries, exploring the penthouse when left alone, and even attempting escape. During one failed attempt, she destroys Ryder's expensive car in a fit of rage, leading to punishment that unexpectedly reveals another layer of connection between her and Diesel. When forced to witness his torture methods, Roxy discovers her own capacity for darkness when confronting a child abuser, telling Diesel to make it hurt. This moment marks a turning point as Roxy begins to see herself reflected in these dangerous men. "You are one of us now," Diesel tells her. "You entered a den of vipers. Choose whether to remain as our prey or shed and become a predator." What makes Den of Vipers so provocative is its exploration of power dynamics that constantly shift and evolve. Initially, the power structure seems clear: four dangerous men holding one woman captive. Yet Roxy's fierce spirit and unwillingness to be victimized begin to undermine this dynamic almost immediately. As sexual tension builds between Roxy and each of the Vipers, the lines between captor and captive blur further. Each man approaches her differently, reflecting their distinct personalities. Ryder maintains control, even in intimacy, making calculated moves. Kenzo turns everything into a game, betting on her responses. Garrett's encounters are colored by his past trauma, requiring Roxy to help him overcome his triggers. And Diesel's approach is the most extreme, mixing pleasure with pain in ways that would be horrifying if not for Roxy's willing participation. What's fascinating is how Roxy gradually gains power through these encounters. She learns to use their desire for her as leverage, playing them against each other and negotiating small freedoms. When she helps them in their business dealings, providing connections from her bartending days, she becomes increasingly valuable to their operation. "I'm your worst nightmare, Ryder Viper," she tells him, "something you never saw coming, something you can't control." The psychological complexity deepens as the men begin to recognize their growing feelings for Roxy. Kenzo is the first to openly admit his love, while Diesel expresses his obsession in disturbing yet genuine ways. Garrett struggles the most, his past trauma making him resist the vulnerability that comes with caring for her. And Ryder, the leader, who prides himself on emotional control, finds himself most threatened by these unexpected feelings. For Roxy, the situation becomes increasingly confusing. She begins to see the humanity in these men, their loyalty to each other, their traumatic pasts, their capacity for both cruelty and kindness. Despite her initial hatred, she finds herself drawn to them, creating an internal conflict between her desire for freedom and her growing attachment. This psychological tug-of-war culminates in a pivotal moment when the Vipers make an unexpected decision. They give Roxy her freedom. "You're free," Kenzo tells her, his voice breaking, "but I'm begging you to stay." This reversal, the captors releasing their captive while hoping she'll choose to remain, represents the complete transformation of their power dynamic. Beneath the surface of violence and desire runs a deeper current, the exploration of how trauma shapes us and how connection, even in unconventional forms, can lead to healing. Each character carries profound wounds that have shaped their identity and behavior. Ryder and Kenzo, brothers raised by an abusive father, learned early that love can be weaponized. When Ryder was 13, he killed someone to protect Kenzo, forever changing him. Their mother's suicide, which Ryder discovered too late to prevent, left him with crushing guilt and a vow to never fail at protecting his family again. Garrett's trauma stems from a relationship with Daphne, who betrayed and tortured him, leaving both physical and psychological scars. His body is covered with evidence of her cruelty, making him fear intimacy and distrust women entirely. Diesel's childhood was perhaps the most horrific, a junky mother who tried to use him as a drug mule and even attempted to sell him. Despite being placed in homes, he always ran back to her out of love. After serving time for assault, he returned to find her murdered, beaten, and burned alive by someone she owed money to. At 17, consumed by rage, he hunted down her killer, tortured him, and set him on fire, discovering his true nature in the process. Roxy's trauma comes from years of abuse at her father's hands, culminating in him literally selling her to pay a debt. This history has taught her that love is dangerous and temporary, that those who claim to love you will eventually hurt you. What's remarkable is how these damaged individuals begin to heal each other. Roxy helps Garrett overcome his triggers by creating safe environments where he can regain control. She listens as Diesel shares his past, offering understanding rather than judgment. She accompanies Kenzo to his mother's grave, holding him as he finally allows himself to grieve. And she challenges Ryder's self-imposed isolation, refusing to let him retreat behind his emotional walls. In turn, the Vipers offer Roxy something she's never had, unconditional acceptance. They see her darkness and embrace it, rather than trying to change her. They value her strength, her fierceness, and even her damaged parts. For someone who spent her life being rejected or used, this acceptance is transformative. "What started as a business deal has now become my life," Roxy reflects. "I was thrown to the Vipers, and now they are mine." The backdrop of organized crime provides more than just a setting for Den of Vipers. It creates a framework for exploring loyalty, family, and moral ambiguity. The Vipers operate in a world where violence is currency, and weakness means death. Their criminal empire spans gambling, protection rackets, and various illicit businesses that keep the city under their control. When rival bangs like the Triad challenge their territory, the response is swift and brutal. We see the Vipers in action: Ryder's cold calculation, Kenzo's strategic thinking, Garrett's raw fighting power, and Diesel's sadistic creativity. They move through the criminal underworld with practiced efficiency, eliminating threats without hesitation or remorse. What makes this portrayal interesting is how it contrasts with the family they create among themselves. Despite their ruthlessness toward outsiders, the Vipers show unwavering loyalty to each other. They've formed a brotherhood that transcends blood, with each member playing a vital role in their collective survival. "We started off as nothing, just four broken boys trying to survive," Kenzo explains. "We became brothers because we had no one else." When Roxy enters this dynamic, she disrupts their established patterns, but ultimately strengthens their bond. She brings laughter, warmth, and a different perspective to their world. Through her eyes, we see the Vipers not just as criminals, but as men seeking connection and purpose. This transformation becomes most evident when Roxy is kidnapped by the Triad. The Vipers unleash unprecedented violence on the city to get her back, leaving a trail of bodies in their wake. What's notable is that this isn't just about possession or pride. It's about protecting someone they've come to love, someone they now consider family. "You are one of us," Diesel tells her after her rescue, "a Viper." This redefinition of family, chosen rather than born into, becomes central to the story's progression. The Vipers and Roxy create their own rules, their own structure, their own form of love that exists outside societal norms. They build a home together, both literally and figuratively, creating a space where they can all belong despite their damaged pasts. As the story progresses, external and internal conflicts intensify. The war with the Triad escalates, particularly after Roxy's kidnapping and torture. The Vipers systematically dismantle their enemy's operations, sending brutal messages about the consequences of challenging them. Simultaneously, personal vendettas emerge. Daphne, Garrett's ex who tortured him, returns working with the Triad. Her face half burned away, likely Diesel's handiwork, she captures Garrett and begins recreating her past torture. This confrontation forces Garrett to face his deepest fears and ultimately allows Roxy to prove her devotion by saving him and killing Daphne. Similarly, Roxy must confront her own personal demon, her father. Despite initially forgetting about him amid the chaos of her new life, she eventually decides to face him. The confrontation is both anticlimactic and powerful. The man who loomed so large in her nightmares appears diminished, wasting away from drink and drugs. "I'm finally moving on, and to do that, I have to forgive you," she tells him, before ultimately deciding that forgiveness doesn't preclude justice. When he lunges at her, she kills him efficiently, feeling nothing as he dies, just another job to do. These acts of vengeance serve as catharsis for the characters, allowing them to close chapters from your past and move forward. Yet, the story doesn't present these killings as simple solutions. Each character must still grapple with their inner demons, even after eliminating external threats. Ryder struggles with his fear of becoming like his father, particularly when his anger threatens to overwhelm him. Garrett must learn to trust again after betrayal. Kenzo works to believe he deserves love despite his childhood conditioning, and Diesel continues to balance his sadistic impulses with his genuine care for his chosen family. For Roxy, the journey involves accepting that she can embrace her darkness without being consumed by it. She can love these dangerous men, participate in their violent world, and still maintain her own moral compass. "I realize a woman can be simultaneously strong and weak, beautiful and scarred, scared and brave, smart and sexy," she reflects.
Perhaps the most compelling aspect of Den of Vipers is the transformation of Roxy from captive to equal partner, even queen of the Vipers' empire. This evolution happens gradually through a series of pivotal moments that shift the power dynamic. When Ryder puts Roxy in charge of their new bar and catering business ventures, including her beloved Roxers, he's acknowledging her capabilities and giving her legitimate power within their organization. "Our money is now yours," he tells her. "Want a whole goddamn island? Just ask." During the war with the Triad, Roxy proves her strategic value by executing a brilliant plan to destroy their import business through legal channels, using connections from her bartending days to report them for stealing from the city and drug trafficking. This approach, different from the Vipers' usual violent tactics, demonstrates her unique contribution to their operations. Her transformation is also marked by how others in their world perceive her. When she enters Cherry's Club with the Vipers, the woman immediately recognizes her as the one in charge, addressing her with respect while ignoring the men. At Kenzo's casino, she confidently challenges wealthy patrons, unafraid to call out their pretensions while sitting on his lap. "The city is yours," Kenzo tells her, "and so am I." Most significantly, Roxy begins to embrace her role, not just as the Vipers' lover, but as an integral part of their identity. She stops seeing herself as their captive or even their girlfriend, but as a Viper herself, equal in power and deserving of the same loyalty they show each other. This transformation culminates in their unconventional marriage ceremony, where each man presents a unique ring symbolizing their distinct connection to her. Though not legally possible, this commitment represents their complete acceptance of her as their equal partner in both life and crime. "These four men are my happiness, my life, my home," Roxy reflects. "Whatever path we take now, we take together, five vipers entwined in a den until the end." At its core, Den of Vipers explores a provocative question. Can love flourish in the most unlikely, even dangerous circumstances? Can people who have experienced profound trauma and engaged in terrible acts still find genuine connection? The novel delves deep into these questions, challenging readers' preconceptions about the nature of love, healing, and redemption. The relationship between Roxy and the Vipers defies conventional definitions. It begins with coercion and violence, but evolves into something more complex, a bond forged through shared darkness, mutual understanding, and eventually choice. Their connection develops through moments of vulnerability, interspersed with displays of power, creating a unique dynamic where strength and weakness intertwine. When the Vipers give Roxy her freedom, allowing her to leave if she wishes, the dynamic fundamentally changes. Her decision to stay transforms their relationship from captivity to partnership, marking a crucial turning point in their collective story. What makes their love story compelling, despite its disturbing elements, is how each character finds in the others exactly what they need to heal. Ryder, who has always carried the burden of leadership alone, learns to share his vulnerabilities and discovers that true strength lies in admitting weakness. Kenzo, who expresses love through material gifts and grand gestures, discovers the profound value of emotional openness and simple presence. Garrett, traumatized by past betrayal and loss, slowly rebuilds his capacity to trust through small acts of faith. And Diesel, whose disturbed mind has always set him apart, finds acceptance for his darkest impulses while learning to channel them constructively. For Roxy, these four dangerous men offer something she's never had: unconditional belonging. Their acceptance extends beyond her surface charm to embrace her darker aspects, her anger, and her capacity for violence. "They've freed the woman I usually hide away," she realizes, "letting me shine without judgment." Through their relationship, she discovers parts of herself she'd previously denied or suppressed. Their love is neither conventional nor healthy by normal standards. It's possessive, sometimes violent, and exists outside societal norms. The intensity of their connection often manifests in ways that would be considered toxic in ordinary circumstances: jealousy, possession, and occasional brutality. Yet for these five damaged individuals, it provides healing that more traditional relationships could not. They understand each other's darkness because they've lived in similar shadows, creating a space where their broken pieces fit together in an unconventional whole. "Love is fragile but teaches important lessons," Roxy reflects near the story's conclusion. "Strength from my mother, embracing pain from my father, appreciating temporary love from Rich, and unconditional love from my Vipers. Most importantly, I've learned to love myself. Imperfectly perfect, both lover and fighter, cruel and kind." This journey of self-discovery through dangerous love becomes not just about romantic connection, but about finding acceptance in all its complex forms. The novel ultimately suggests that love, in whatever form it takes, has the power to heal, even when it comes wrapped in darkness. The Vipers and Roxy story demonstrates that sometimes the most profound connections grow in the most unlikely places, and that redemption can be found even in relationships that society might condemn. As Den of Vipers concludes, the characters have created something none of them expected: a genuine home. Their new house, with its modern gray walls, black and white gold marble floors, and curved split stairs, represents the family they've become. It's expensive yet cozy, perfectly reflecting us as a family, as Roxy describes it. This physical home mirrors their emotional one, a space where they can be themselves without judgment, where their darkness is accepted rather than feared. For individuals who have spent their lives fighting, surviving, and hiding parts of themselves, this acceptance is revolutionary. "I've decided to. I want to be theirs," Roxy acknowledges. "With my Vipers and our new house, I finally have hope for a better future where darkness might actually be good." The story ends with the five of them moving forward together. Still criminals, still damaged, but now with purpose and connection that transcends their violent world. Their businesses expand legitimately, with Garrett opening gyms to help underprivileged kids, Kenzo celebrating his 20th casino, and Roxy launching a chain of bars named after her mentor, Rich. What began as a debt collection has transformed into a complex family unit bound by choice rather than obligation. The Den of Vipers has become a home where each member can shed their skin and grow into something new while retaining their essential nature. Life is made of choices that lead us down different paths, Roxy concludes. Mine led to four men who saw past my armor to the flawed survivor beneath. I've learned to choose living fully over fear, to love deeply without regret. We're criminals, gamblers, fighters, business people, and assassins, imperfect but perfectly matched. In this unconventional love story, Knight suggests that sometimes we find healing in the most unexpected places, even in a den of vipers. Sometimes the people society labels as monsters are the ones who see us most clearly. And sometimes, when we embrace our darkness rather than fighting it, we find our truest path to light.